what I want to do tonight is speak about Shana Mu'beres, leap year. This year is a Shana Mu'beres. This Shabbos we're going to be Mevarech Chodesh Adar Rishon. And I thought it'd be interesting to hear some of the halachic background of a Shana Mu'beres and some hashkafa ideas of what the concept of a Shana Mu'beres is. So let's start with the halacha idea. Why is it necessary to have leap years every once in a while? We'll see how often we have them now according to the set calendar, and what was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, what were the criteria for making a leap year. The Torah says, Shomor es chodesh ha'aviv, yosisa pesach l'shem elokech. Guard the month of Aviv, which both means the Tkufas Aviv, which means the spring equinox. That's the time that the sun is what's it called, the days and the nights are pretty much equal. Springtime, that happens again in the autumn. And the summer is the summer solstice, and in the winter is the winter solstice. The summer solstice is when the days are the longest, and the winter solstice is when the nights are the longest, and that's around December 21st, and in the summer it's around June 21st, and the spring is April 21st, I think, and what's it called, and the autumn is October 21st. Though I think October, yeah, there's 90 and a quarter days between each season, between the multiple tap by four, and you get 364. It's 91 and a quarter days. So that's 365 and a quarter days. 91 and a quarter days. So that's the solar year. The lunar year is 354 days. Okay, there are 354 days in a lunar year. That means that there's an 11-day difference between a solar year and a lunar year. That means that if we wouldn't make any adjustments, Rosh Hashanah would come out 11 days earlier in the solar calendar every year, progressively. Right, so let's say Rosh Hashanah was September 1st this year. Next year, Rosh Hashanah would be 354 days later. It would be, what's it called, August 19th, right, whatever, it's okay, August 20th, right, it's 34 days, it'll be August 20th, the next year will be 11 days earlier, it'll be August 9th, and eventually you could see that in a few years, it would be, Rosh Hashanah would be in the summertime, and a few years later, it'll be in the spring, and then it'll be in the winter, until it came back to the autumn again. That's exactly how the Arabs have their calendar. They don't make any adjustments, and therefore every year Ramadan is about 11 days earlier than it was the year before. So sometimes they celebrate Ramadan in the winter, sometimes in the summer, sometimes in the spring. But the Torah doesn't want that. The Torah wanted that Pesach should always be the Chodesh Ha'aviv. It always should coincide with springtime. So in order to do that, there has to be something that synchronizes between the lunar year and the solar year, so it never gets that far behind that it's outside of the what's it called, of the Tkufas Nisan. That means that Tkufas Nisan, the spring equinox, can't occur later than Tezayin Nisan. It has to occur before Tezayin Nisan. If it's not going to, then there has to be a, what's it called, an adjustment made. And we'll get to that in a second. But that's the basic reason why there has to be a leap year. Because there has to be a way of compensating for the 11-day difference between the lunar and the solar year. So Pesach always falls in the spring. Okay. Now, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they did this according to other cheshbonos too. That was one, the major cheshbon, right, is that Pesach should be in the spring. That the spring equinox should not, in other words, that April 21st should not occur later than the 16th day of Nisan. If April 21st is going to be, March 21st, yeah, March 21st is later than Tezayin Nisan, then you have to have an Ibriyur. So, and then we have it now on a cycle, so it never comes to that because the years that we add an extra month compensate for that. Never lets it get that much behind. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had other cheshbonos too. One of them was that if the barley crop wasn't, they saw the barley crop wasn't going to be ready by the 16th day of Nisan, then they made a leap year because you need the barley crop to bring the Omer. So if you wouldn't be able to bring the Omer, right, then that was untenable. So if the barley, they saw that the barley was ripening very slowly or whatever, then they would, what's it called, make an extra month and push off Pesach a month, and that way the barley, by the time Pesach came, would be ready. Another thing, if they saw that the fruit was, what's it called, was not ripening fast enough, and it wouldn't be ripe by Shavuot, so you could start bringing Bikurim from it, so they also made an Ibriyor. Another thing was the Tkufa, that's what we said, and on the other ones, they could make an Ibriyor, even if Tkufas Nisan, right, if March 21st would occur before the 16th of Nisan, but some of these other things were relevant, so they would make an Ibriyor, okay, if all the other things were fine. The barley was fine, and the fruit was fine, but the 21st of March would occur after the 16th day of Nisan, then they made an Ibriyor no matter what, okay. Now, there are certain things that you don't make an Ibriyor for. It's snowing late into spring, right? And the snows are causing problems with people getting to Eretz Yisrael or whatever. For that, you don't make an Ibriyor. Or because it's cold, right? It's a late winter. So spring is like winter. You don't make an Ibriyor for that either. If you have, what's it called, people who haven't yet left their houses, but because of the conditions, weather conditions or whatever, there's what's it called, they're not going to get to Eretz Yisrael by Pesach. But if they haven't left yet, that's not a cheshbon. Okay. Because Klal Yisrael are tamei. And if you don't add time, they will be tamei when Pesach comes. Not a reason to make an Ibriyor. Some of the other things that are a reason is, even if everything, all the springtime is right, the astronomical calculations are right, there's plenty of barley getting ready, the fruit's getting ready, but because of the winter was a bad winter, and a lot of the roads have been out of commission, and because of that, people won't be able to get to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, for Korban Pesach. So they make an extra month so they can fix the roads. That is a cheshbon. Another cheshbon is the bridges are out that connect Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, right? Also a reason to make a people's Pesach ovens were destroyed because of the winter, and they have to make new ovens for Korban Pesach. Okay, also a reason. Or Jews already left their home and they're on the way to Eretz Yisrael, and because of the conditions, weather conditions or whatever, they're not going to be able to make it. So you make an extra month, give them time to get here for Pesach. Okay.
Are you supposed to go to the Omer?
What?
How do you know that the
government? They sent letters. We're on the way. what's it called? Then there's some things that you don't make an Ibriyor for, but if there's other considerations, you add this to the considerations. That's if the animals, the sheep and goats aren't mature, right? They gave birth late. So that is not a reason not to make that's not a reason to make an Ibriyor by itself, but it adds to other cheshbonos, okay? Because they won't have a Korban Pesach readily available if there's not a lot of animals available.
Is there a deadline but, they had to know by?
Yes. Time? First of all, you couldn't make an Ibriyor before Tishrei. Yeah. In other words, you couldn't make the calculations in Elul and this day that this year we're going to add an extra month, this coming year, only from Tishrei on, okay? That's one of the reasons why we don't start saying Kaporas Pasha in Musaf Shmoneh Esrei until Tishrei, even though Nisan already starts the 12-month cycle, right, which ends with the second Adar, right? The 13th month in the Nibri Yor, we know it's a Nibri Yor, we don't say Kaparis Pasha until Tishrei, because they couldn't have declared a Nibri Yor till Tishrei. Okay. And you can't make an Nibri Yor once it's already the last day of Adar. That is, when it's the 30th day of Adar, which could be already Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? Even if it's not, even if the 30th of Adar is still Adar. But since it could be the 1st of Nisan, right, you can't make a Nibri Yor. You can only make it up till the 29th day of Adar. Mm-hmm. The 29th day of Adar, you could decide tomorrow's not going to be Nisan, tomorrow's going to be Adar Sheni. And you'll have two Purim.
And you have two Purim, so they would have already had Purim.
They had Purim, and they'll have it again. And there's a Gemara's about that.
If you said if you say you're going to have an Ibri,
what?
Is there a time where they could say they have an Ibri Yor and then they say, oh, no, we don't need it, take it away?
Once they declared it, they could take it back? I'm not sure. That's an interesting question. I don't know. Okay, now I'll tell you another interesting thing. On the Beis Din that was decided had to be part of the Beis Din HaGadol, part of the Sanhedrin, but you don't need the whole Sanhedrin to deliberate. You start deliberating with three members of the Sanhedrin. They start the deliberation. Then they continue with five. They add another two. They have five. And they finish it with seven. And all these people have to be invited by the Nasi to be part of the group. So the Nasi chooses three, five, then two more, altogether seven people to make these deliberations. Who?
The Nasi.
The Nasi is like over them. He's not included in the... He invites them to come. And if you're not invited, you can't be part of the thing. And the Gemara says that once Shmuel HaKotan snuck in, right, uninvited, and they asked, like, who here is uninvited or whatever, and he said, I came only to learn, not to be part of the procedure. The truth is, the Gemara says, he wasn't the one who wasn't invited, but he said that to protect the person who wasn't. Okay, in any case... you can only add an Adar as another month. That's the only way that the months will retain their numbers, by adding a second Adar. So till then, every month is the same number that it used to was. If you add in a month, let's say before Cheshvan, then Cheshvan would not be the number of month it usually is. But this way, everything till Adar is 12, and this is 13, so it doesn't affect the numbers of the other months. On this Beis Din, the Melech wasn't allowed to be on the Beis Din, nor at the Kohen Gadol. The Melech, because we're afraid that he would have political reasons why to make it. He has wars going on, he has soldiers quartered places, and he would rather have another month or whatever in his year for political reasons.
So, harder, you have more
Muslims. Right, okay, maybe. I don't know if that's the reason. But it was because of the weather or whatever. Right. And we don't think a melech either, because a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol not, because he has a vested interest. He doesn't want Tishrei to be too late in the winter. If you add another Adar, then Tishrei is going to be later towards the winter. In other words, it's not going to be in September, Yom Kippur, it's going to be in October. Okay? If you didn't add an extra month, Yom Kippur would be in September. If you add an extra month, Yom Kippur would be in October, which is colder. The Kohen Gadol had to be Tovel five times on Yom Kippur outside and walk around barefoot on Yom Kippur, and he had a vested interest not to have an Ibri Yor because he didn't want it to be cold. So we're afraid that the Kohen Gadol, who was big tzaddik, big Talmud Chacham, would be, what's it called, swayed by his own personal feelings and vote for an Ibri Yor when it wasn't really necessary. So, who? The Nasi could be, he wasn't on the Beis Din anyway, The Nasi was the Av Beis Din, he usually was there, he wasn't part of the Beis Din.
If he wanted to, he could though?
He could be, yeah. Okay. Now, that's all in what's it called. Now, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the years that they wouldn't make a Nibri Yor is if it was a famine year. They wouldn't add an extra year, an extra month in a famine year, because that would add an extra month that the Chadash would be Aser. Couldn't eat the new crop till Tezai and Nisan. So if they had an extra month, you have an extra month that tvua that already grew couldn't be eaten.
But on the other hand, what had a situation where they didn't have the barley, so they couldn't bring the homer anyhow, so they would have to have the extra year.
Yes and no. Or I'm sure there was always some barley to get out. It just wasn't, you know, the hiddur, but the people's starving was more important. Or a Shemitah year. To add an extra month in Shemitah, they never did. But usually they had Erev Shemitah. They had an Ibriyar. And that's how I think I was now. We usually have an Ibriyar Erev Shemitah. What? Yeah, no, it never, what's it called? It's not Shemitah, not Yovel. Those 2 years were never, never made it. What? Not? Okay, but it could be. It's just something, a lot of times it is. This year, I don't know. This Shemitah, I don't know. When is Shemitah?
2008.
And one second. Maybe it will be a leap year. Three years from now. I'm not sure what year of the cycle this is. We'll get into a second. But if it is what I think it is, it'll be a leap year in 3 years. Okay, now when the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had the choice to make, what's it called, Adar, the first Adar, Mole, the extra Adar, the second Adar, Mole or Chaser. They could make an extra 29-day month or a 30-day month. They have that option. Okay, today, the second Adar is always 29 days, and the first Adar is always 30 days. So that means that Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni is always 2 days, the 30th of Adar Rishon, and the first of Adar Sheni. And Adar Sheni, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is always 1 day. It's the 30th day, would have been the 30th day of Adar, and Adar ends at 29 days. So that's the way it is today. Today, always, the first Adar is Mole, the second Adar is Chaser. First one is 30 days, second one is 29 days. The sun has a cycle of 28 years. Every 28 years we make Birkas Hachama, because the sun comes back to the point that it was at creation. Right? In the signs of the zodiac. Okay? So the sun has a 28-year cycle, and the moon has a 19-year cycle. Okay? That means there are two moon cycles in one sun cycle. And therefore, in order to make the moon cycle correspond to the sun, seven times in 19 years there's a leap year. And into the following years of the cycle. The 3rd, 6th, 8th, 11th, 14th, 17th, and 19th year of the cycle are leap years. And therefore, 14 times in the 28 years, right, you add an extra month. And if you figure it out mathematically, you'll find out if you multiply 28 times 365 and a fourth, which is the amount of days in 28 solar years, and you multiply, what's it called, a lunar year, right, of 354, and add 14 years of extra, 29 days, months, it'll come out the exact same amount. So in 28 years, right, you have the exact same twice in 14 years of Ibriyor. In the 28-year solar cycle, you have the exact same amount of days, so it'll even out completely. Okay. Now, which is the Ikar Adar? This person was born in Adar, right? He was born in a regular year. When does he celebrate his birthday? First Adar, the second Adar. Somebody died in Adar, regular Adar. When does he celebrate? When does he doesn't celebrate anything? When do you celebrate his yahrzeit? Okay, so the gabi a yahrzeit, it's haka brought down that you should observe it in both, and it could be that the first Adar is the Iker. Okay, the first Adar is the Iker, but you do both Adars, you celebrate the yahrzeit. I have yahrzeit for my brother on Zion Adar, and people have for Moshe Rabbeinu also. And this year, Mustam, we'll have to celebrate it twice.
And there, tell it also.
What? Well, I believe they're right. By Bar Mitzvah, though, the second Adar is the Iker one. Okay, by Bar Mitzvah, somebody was born in a regular year in Adar. So he's born on the 5th day of Adar, and his Bar Mitzvah is the 5th day of Adar Sheni. He doesn't become Bar Mitzvah in the first Adar, he becomes Bar Mitzvah in the second Adar. Okay? If he was, what's it called, there's a famous case of, what's it called, of two twins that are born, one at the end of the first Adar, And 20 minutes later, right, at the beginning of the second Adar, right, the second one is born. Okay? So the first one is, let's say, 20 minutes older than the other one. And then the bar mitzvah is in a leap year. So, what? Right. The bar mitzvah will be in a regular year, right? No. Right. So the second one is going to be bar mitzvah on what's it called, on the first day of Adar. Okay? And the other one's going to be bar mitzvah the last day of Adar, which really it's not 100% like that. Because this one was born, the first Adar is always a Mali. That means if he's born on the last day of Adar, he was born on Lamed Adar. There is no Lamed Adar in a regular Adar. Oh, yes, there could be. Yeah, there could be. Sure, there could be. In a regular Adar, it could be Mali. Yeah, that's no problem. It's only when it's an Ibriyar, the second Adar is Chos. So, okay, so he'll be Bar Mitzvah Lamed Adar. Lamed Adar Rishon. Lamed Adar. And the other one is Bar Mitzvah Aleph Adar. So the one who was born 20 minutes later is Bar Mitzvah 30 days earlier. No, but there's no second Adar that year.
No, but if it were a year that there would be a second Adar.
Right. If the year of the second Adar, then the what's it called? In the year of the second Adar, so the first one was born Lamed Adar Aleph, his bar mitzvah will be Lamed Adar Beis.
Right.
But since there is no Lamed Adar Beis, right, so then there's a Shaila, it could be his bar mitzvah already Lamed Adar Aleph. Some hold that his bar mitzvah Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's a machlokes.
You're born Lamed
Adar Aleph, right, in a regular year, in a river yard, and then your bar mitzvah is in a regular year, right, so it could be that you're not, bar, and when your bar mitzvah is in a regular year, then talk to your bar mitzvah Lamed Adar. That's no shayla. But if you were born Lamed Adar Aleph and your bar mitzvah is in an Ibri yard, right, so now it could be that you're not bar mitzvah Lamed Adar Beis, but your bar mitzvah Lamed Adar Aleph. What? Because even though Adar Beis is the Iker, but since you were born in Adar Aleph, that's Allah. Let's say you were born the fifth day of Adar Aleph in a leap year, and your bar mitzvah is a leap year. You can come out like that. Right? So your bar mitzvah in a leap year. Then your bar mitzvah in Adar Aleph. Not everybody holds it, but that's the halacha. The halacha is, if you're born the fifth day of Adar Aleph and your bar mitzvah is in Adar Aleph and Adar Beis, your bar mitzvah is in Adar Aleph. It's only if you're born in a leap year, and what's it called? You're born in a regular year, and then your bar mitzvah is in a leap year, then your bar mitzvah is in the second Adar. But if you were born in a leap year, in the first Adar, and your bar mitzvah is in a leap year, then your bar mitzvah is in the leap year.
That's when you consider
a gadol. Right, that's when you consider a gadol, right. So, there is a sheet that the Magen Avraham holds, not like that. He holds interesting idea. He says like this. Let's say you were born in Adar Aleph, okay? The fifth day of Adar Aleph. And your bar mitzvah, there's also a leap year. So the halacha is, the way we hold, that your bar mitzvah is Adar Aleph. You were born in Adar Aleph, your mitzvah is Adar Aleph, right? There's no reason to make it different. He says, no. When were you 12? The year before you were bar mitzvah, you were 12 as a regular Adar. So you can't become another year until, what's it called, now, so it comes out your 12th birthday was in a regular Adar. So therefore your 13th birthday has to be an Adar Sheni. Because Lamaisa, 1 year after that is going to be Adar Sheni, not because your 12th year was a regular Adar. We don't look back to when you were born. We look back to what the year before that was. So that's what the Magen Avraham says, but we don't hold like that. We hold that if you're born in Adar Aleph, your bar mitzvah in Adar Aleph, or your bar mitzvah in regular Adar, if there's only one. Right? If you're born in regular Adar, and then your bar mitzvah is in a leap year, you always have to wait till the second Adar to get your bar mitzvah. Okay. There's another shaila, what's it called, though? The one whose bar mitzvah is, the younger one's going to be bar mitzvah first. But is he considered older, or is he still considered younger? There's halacha by Yibum, that the older brother gets the first option of making Yibum or Chalitza. Okay? So now the question is, even though this kid is bar mitzvah first, but the mice is not older. So some hold that the older brother is the one who was bar mitzvah last, but he's still older. He's just not bar mitzvah first. And the other opinion is that no, bar mitzvah first, they're considered old already, even though day-wise you're what's it called, younger. There's also another shot, could be according to this, that the first one is a Bechor. and the Bechor will be Bar Mitzvah later than the one who's after it.
How does the first one Bechor if he wasn't...
He was born
first.
He's the first one.
No, I was thinking the second one.
First one's Bechor, he's born first. The second one is Bar Mitzvah first, but the Bechor is Bar Mitzvah second, he's still the Bechor.
Okay. Then older brother, and the older brother died between Adar Aleph and Adar Sheni. So the first, and the second one is Bar Mitzvah already. First one is Bar Mitzvah yet. So even according to the opinion, the whole, the first one is still considered older, but he's not Bar Mitzvah yet. So would that opinion hold that...
The third brother died.
Yeah.
Right, not the brother, but these two brothers.
Right, third brother died, and now...
This guy's not Bar Mitzvah yet. Good question, I don't know. I don't know. You learn your vowels, we'll see. Right, there's another one more Shaila. If a kid was born, I never had anybody ask me these Shailas. But in any case, if a kid was born on Lamed Shvat, okay, this year, he was born Lamed Shvat. So Lamed Shvat is like this coming Wednesday, yeah? Is Wednesday, Thursday, Rosh Chodesh? When is Rosh Chodesh? Wednesday and Thursday. So Wednesday is Lamed Shvat. If a kid will be born, anybody here getting ready or whatever, a kid will be born Lamed Shvat. Okay? Now, but that's called Aleph Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. Okay? Now his Bar Mitzvah will be in a, what's it called, in a regular year, not an Ibra year. Okay? When does he become Bar Mitzvah? Does he become, no, his Bar Mitzvah will be also in a leap year. His Bar Mitzvah will be in a leap year. So if his birthday is Aleph, Adar Aleph, no. Back up. Not this year. He was born in a regular year, on Lamed Shvat. Okay? And his Bar Mitzvah is in an Ibrior. Okay, now we'll get the press straight. So he was born Lamed Shvat in a regular year, okay? But that was called Aleph Adar. In other words, Aleph Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay? First day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. But it's not the first day of Adar. The first day of Adar is the second day of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, but it's called Aleph the Rosh Chodesh Adar. So he's born Lamed Shvat, and now his Bar Mitzvah is in a leap year. So if we consider him born in Adar, he has to wait till the second Adar. So he's not Bar Mitzvah till Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. But if we consider it Lamed Shvat, then he can be Bar Mitzvah Lamed Shvat in a whole month earlier. That's a machlokas. Do we go after the actual date, which is Lamed Shvat, and therefore he's Bar Mitzvah Lamed Shvat before we get involved with any leap years? Or do we go on the fact that it's called Rosh Chodesh Adar, so he's not going to be Bar Mitzvah until Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni? Right.
There's another case for the twins of the Bar Mitzvah Lamed Shvat.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, that would be a case where...
What would be pushed off a month instead of coming back?
Right here. Okay.
It would work out.
One was born the 29th of Shvat, and the other one the 30th of Shvat.
Right. The older one would be born, the older one would have his Bar Mitzvah first, though. It would just be a month apart.
Right. They would have Bar Mitzvah a month apart. This one would be on 29th of Shvat, and the other one would be Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, a month later. It'd be the right order, but what's it called, but a month apart. Twins would be a month apart.
During that month of
Safek,
it sounds like he should be able to answer to
Mazumin,
like we've been learning.
Okay, so you take it from there. Okay, those are the halachic ramifications. Now I'll go a little bit into the, what's it called? What is normally called a leap year, but we don't call it a leap year. We call it a Shana Mu'beres, which means a pregnant year. So the obvious idea is a month is pregnant, it has some extra thing. We'll see it's a much more a deeper idea why it's called a Shana Mu'beres. The idea we said is that the Torah wants the solar year and the lunar year to be in sync, to be coincide, not to be out of, not to be unsynchronized. So the solar year represents Olam Hazeh. The sun, Tachas HaShemesh, is Olam Hazeh. It's a fixed astronomical thing. It's constant motion that determines a solar year, and that's what this world is all about. There's no chiddush, ain't chodesh tachas hashemesh. Everything is just constant, repetitive, right? It's a world of nature. Okay, that is what's it called, the solar year. The lunar year, on the other hand, has its changes. The moon goes through phases. What's it called, that represent the idea of olam haba, something small, that fades, gets bigger, gets smaller, Sometimes the spiritual world is at a high, sometimes at a low. You don't see it in this world. It's only reflection. In this world, you can only reflect it off the sun. But in itself, it's hidden. That's the Olam Haba is hidden in this world. And therefore, what's it called? And it changes. And it's, we determine when Rosh Chodesh is, when the new moon is. Because it's not exact. So the same thing, Olam Haba we make. We create Olam Haba by our mitzvahs or whatever. It's not something that is natural and nothing to do with man. And therefore, the moon is smaller than the sun. Because in this world, the Ruchniyistika world is much more in the background, right? Only reflection that we can get out of nature, we can't see it directly. You can only see it as it's reflected in nature. Now, Yetzias Mitzrayim happened in a time where both of these things coincided, where the solar year was going through spring, changes, renewal, right, which is the hallmark of the lunar year, and that the lunar year, Nisan, was correspondent to that time. So Torah wants us to coordinate the physical world and the spiritual world together. That's the ideal, where the physical and the spiritual work together in harmony, okay? And they complement and they supplement each other. And that's the ultimate of this world, when the spiritual and the physical will be ideally together. The physical environment of this world will be very conducive to getting Olam Haba. That's Yimos HaMashiach. Okay. So that's why it's called a pregnant year, because you have the solar year, which is like the mother. That's the big year. Okay. And you have the little year, that's like the embryo. That's like the lunar year. Okay. But they're working together. The mother gives life to the embryo, just like the physical world gives the ability for there to be spirituality. But the embryo gives eternity, or gives perpetuity to the mother, right? It gives a hemshah, right? That's the child. The child gives a continuation to the mother. The spiritual world makes the physical world eternal by turning the physical things into spiritual things that have eternal importance. So the spiritual world, the lunar year, is like the embryo, which gives the mother hemshech, and the solar year is like the mother that gives life to the... Without a physical world, you can't have Olam Haba. It's only because of the physical things in this world that we create Olam Haba. And that's why the month of Adar represents this synchronization. The Maral Prague points out that the month of Adar is, on the one hand, the farthest month from the previous Nisan. So it's the farthest from miracles. It's the most natural month. Farthest from miracles, okay? It's a 12th month as opposed to... But on the other hand, if you look the other way, it's the closest month to Nisan. It's the month immediately before Nisan. So if you look back, it's the month farthest from Nisan. On the other hand, if you look ahead, it's the month closest to Nisan. Which means that that month of Adar has in it the natural world. That's what it says. Moshe Rabbeinu died during Adar. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu was also born during Adar, because it has both ideas in it. It has the physical, farthest from Nisan, and the spiritual, closest to Nisan. So that is when both the physical and spiritual worlds are in synchronization. That's why Adar was chosen. In addition, what's it called? It says that the month of Adar is fish. Okay, fish has both things too. Fish, on the one hand, are hidden from physical view. Right, they're more hidden, like the lunar year. At the same time, they're very prolific in this world. You multiply like fish. So fish are an idea of ribui, of gashmias. At the same time, they're hidden, which represents ruchnias. So they bridge the two things. And therefore, in an ibriyor, we have two Purims. We have Purim Katan, which is more hidden Purim, the small Purim, which is more like the lunar year Purim. And then we have the big Purim, which is more the physical Purim, right, where you do everything openly. That's the more solar year Purim. That's Purim Gadol. So it's Purim Katan and it's Purim Gadol. It's not called Purim Rishon and Purim Shady. It's Purim Katan and Purim Gadol, which this idea. Another thing we say on the leap year, the Chaporas Pasha. During a regular year, we ask for Slicha for our Avonos. But in leap year, we add Kaparas Pesha. Pesha has two meanings. Pesha can mean rebellion, Rebellion is where the physical rebels against the spiritual. They don't work together, just the opposite. So a leap year where the physical and spiritual are coordinated, that helps to be mechaper at Pesha. Pesha also means negligence. Negligence is where your body, right, is negligent, and mainly you don't do something spiritual. So either you can rebel with your body against your neshama, or your body can just be out of sync and just go and do what's natural without thinking, and mainly that's called negligence. So both of those things are corrected when the body and the neshama are synchronized. That's also the reason why Adar was the month when they collected shkolim. Because shkolim are a physical thing, which Moshe Rabbeinu saw had a spiritual counterpart that it could be mechaper on your neshama. So whenever the physical and spiritual go together, that's Adar, that's why Kilayim. Kilayim are a physical thing in this world that's mixed up, that mixes up in Shamayim, spiritual connections. So in Adar, they used to be mashmi ala shkolim v'ala kilayim. People should start bringing their shkolim to the Beis HaMikdash, they should uproot kilayim if it starts to grow. It's a time of growing of kilayim. And one last thing, the Shulchan Aruch starts with Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. I always have the Rabbanu Shem before me. That's the beginning of Aruch Chaim in Shulchan Aruch. Aruch Chaim in Shulchan Aruch ends with a pasuk. Right? It says that some people have a minig, an other rishon, to make a suda, right? To eat and drink extra, not drink wine, but drink with the meal, water, soda, whatever, right? To eat and drink other rishon, that pour of cotton, and what's it called? And he ends the lave sameach mishne tami. A good-hearted person is always ready for a party. What's it called? Mishne tami. In other words, good to be machmer, because good-hearted person, what's the wrong? So another party, what's so terrible, right?
I am very machmer.
But it's interesting, it starts with Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, which is a very spiritual thing. I have the Rabbanu Shem always before me, and it ends with Mishne Tamid. You're always having parties, right? Which means that's the purpose of Aruch Chaim. Aruch Chaim is, you start very spiritual, right? But as you go through the Shulchan Aruch, and you learn how to coordinate your physical life with your spiritual life, you end up with Mishne Tamid. That same Tamid, that Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, you can be partying and still have the Rabbanu Shem in front of you all the time. They two things synchronize together, and the Lev Sameach Mishne Tamid, and the Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, what's it called, coordinate together.